Therefore,
Sarveshu,
Sarveshu,
to all,
to all,
Bhuteshu,
Bhuteshu,
living entities,
living entities,
Dayam,
Dayam,
mercy,
mercy,
Kuruta,
Kuruta,
show,
show,
Sauridam,
Sauridam,
friendliness,
friendliness,
Bhavam,
Bhavam,
the attitude,
the attitude,
Asuram,
Asuram,
of the demons,
of the demons,
who separate friends and enemies,
who separate friends and enemies,
Unmucha,
Unmucha,
giving up,
giving up,
Yaya,
Yaya,
by which,
by which,
Tushyati
is
satisfied.
Adhoksaja,
the Supreme Lord who is beyond the perception of the senses. Translation. Therefore, my dear young friends born of the demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well wishers.
Report. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktya mam abhijananti yavanyas chasmitatpata. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj ultimately instructed his class friends, the sons of the demons, to accept the process of devotional service by preaching the science of Krishna consciousness to everyone. Preaching is the best service to the Lord. The Lord will immediately be extremely satisfied with one who engages in this service of preaching Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 1869, Nacha Tasmad Manushyesu Kaschane Priya Kritama. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. If one seriously tries to his best to spread Krishna consciousness by preaching the glories of the Lord and His supremacy, even if he is imperfectly educated, he becomes the dearmost servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is bhakti. As one performs this service to humanity without discrimination between friends and enemies, the Lord becomes satisfied, and the mission of one's life is fulfilled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised everyone to become a guru, devotee, and preach Krishna consciousness, Yare Dake Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. This is the easiest way to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By such preaching, the preacher becomes satisfied, and those to whom he preaches are also satisfied. This is the process of bringing peace and tranquility to the entire world. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suriram sarvabhutanam gatvamam santamrichati. One is expected to understand these three formulas of knowledge concerning the Supreme Lord, that He is the Supreme Enjoyer, that He is the proprietor of everything, and that He is the best well-wisher and friend of everyone. A preacher should personally understand these truths and preach them to everyone. Then there will be peace and tranquility all over the world. The word sohridam, friendliness, is very significant in this verse. People are generally ignorant of Krishna consciousness, and therefore, to become their best well-wisher, one should teach them about Krishna consciousness without discrimination. Since the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, is situated in the core of everyone's heart, every body is a temple of Vishnu. One should not misuse this understanding as an excuse for such words as Dridra Narayan. If Narayan lives in the house of a Dridra, a poor man, this does not mean that Narayan becomes poor. He lives everywhere, in the houses of the poor and those of the rich, but in all circumstances he remains Narayan. To think that he becomes either poor or rich is a material calculation. He is always Sad Aishvarya Purna, full in six opulences in all circumstances.
Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyanajana Shalakaya Chakshush Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. In the previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj was he's speaking to his friends in the what Prabhupada calls the tiffin hour, when the teacher is away. So they're little boys. In the previous verse, he made the point that it's not very difficult to understand Krishna, because it is our natural relationship. But here the word adhoksaja is used. The Supreme Lord who is beyond the perception of the senses. So for ordinary people, it's very hard to understand God, because he's not perceived by the senses. And they think that that's all there is. And even if you try to study the scriptures without association, it will be very difficult. Vedeshu sulabham adulabham atma bhakto. It's very difficult to find the absolute truth even by study the scriptures. But if you become the devotee of the devotees, then you can understand. So we have to join the community of the devotees. Saru sangha, saru sangha, sarva shastrikai. Labamatra sarasange sarvasiddhihai. Just a moment in the association of devotees is worth, cannot be calculated, it is so valuable, it can save you. To try to understand this point that it is, we know ourselves that we came in contact with the devotees, and it's, we cannot exactly say in terms of ordinary reasoning how it was that suddenly we accepted these things. And normal people, you say normal by their standards, in the world, whether they're going to the university or they're uneducated, people nowadays don't believe in God, or they have no scientific understanding of God, even if they have a little faith. How to realize these things, that God is all-pervading, that he's in the heart, that there is another world, a spiritual world, that the Lord is present in his holy name, that the spiritual master is the direct representative of Krishna, as good as Krishna, that the prasadam is none different than Krishna, the dham, the deity. These things are very, very difficult. But somehow, when we're in this association, hearing becomes clear, and our hearts begin to respond. The main thing is to hear the proper sound vibration uttered by the proper person. And then, if you're a little submissive, so generally people, they are a little submissive. We were reading last night Srila Prabhupada's first reflections about America. On the one hand, he said, a horrible, sinful place, but he said, I'm very encouraged since I've been here. These people are actually receptive. They've got everything materially, but naturally they have a spiritual inclination, and I see that there's some interest in India, Indian culture, and the East, and I think whenever I've spoken, it has been received. So people are receptive, a little bit. So they simply have to hear from the right source. The right source means Guru Shastra Saru, the same message of Vyasadeva spoken today. And that will actually bring about a change. So you have to have been one who's undergone that change by your own hearing process and come to this, to some realization of Krishna. As these, so it is stated here, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suradam Sarvabhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantim Vichchate. This verse, the last verse in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, contains three formulas of knowledge, of knowing Krishna. One, you have to know that Krishna is Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, that he is the supreme enjoyer. That means whatever that is being done ultimately for his pleasure. He is the benefactor. This especially refers to the different sacrifices that are performed to demigods and material mixed sacrifices. Ultimately, nothing can come about unless Krishna is satisfied. He is the one to whom everything is to be offered, as he requests in the Bhagavad Gita. It is not to your family that you should render service, or to your nation, but to the Supreme Lord. This is the real position. This has to be understood. And then, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, why should we offer everything to him? Because he's the Maheshwara, he's the great controller, not just a little controller of the United States for 4 years, or Canada for 4 years. He is the controller of all the planets, eternally. Supreme controller, Ishvara Paramakrishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. It's a science of God. We cultivate this understanding. There is one supreme being who, by who, Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. I am controlling the whole material nature. From me, all the living beings are coming, being manifested, and they're under my control. So therefore, everything should be offered to him. He's the supreme controller. So these two verses describe, these two points describe great, great power, inconceivable power. Therefore, God is, sometimes we say, fear of God, which is also proper. But then the third quality, Suradam Sarvabhutanam, he's not just the one to whom, who gives all benedictions, and therefore he must be approached in sacrifice, because he's the only one from whom it's coming from. And he's not only the one who's got everything as the Lord of all the planets, but he's actually your friend, everyone's best friend. Friend is intimate. Well-wisher. And not, so there are different qualifications of friend. One is that he wishes you well, and another is that he can actually benefit you. Of course, in the material world, even if one is well-intentioned, he cannot help. I remember Srila Prabhupada describing how we are under the grip of nature in this body, and he was feeling ill. And he was saying, so I have so many disciples and you are also willing to help me, but what can you do? You cannot help my condition. And we all felt so helpless by this lesson that we could try to give our spiritual master comfort, but it was a fact that we could not, although sometimes devotees expressed we would like to exchange our youth for your old age or our health, for your, but nothing like that could be done. So what kind of friends were we? Our well-wishing was sometimes unable to help our friend. And most people, they don't even have any real well-wishing intention. It is just a partner for sense gratification. So many of us have experienced that when we came to Krishna consciousness, we had some circle of friends. So we returned to them and said, oh, I found this the great happiness that as friends we always were hoping to find. Krishna consciousness, come with me. You say, oh, what is Krishna consciousness? Well, it's chanting Hare Krishna, but you must give up illicit sex intoxication. Oh, then we're no longer your friend. After all, our friendship is this. Srila Prabhupada used to say, in the material world, he said, a friend is someone who comes and smokes with you and after half an hour goes away. No, that is not a friend. So, but Krishna is actually never leaves us. Even when we go into the material world away from him, out of envy of him, he stays in our heart, best friend. And if we turn to this best friend, he can help us completely. So these are the understandings of a devotee. Krishna is the well-wisher, Krishna is the benefactor, and he's the Supreme Lord. For my friend or for my worshipable object, I have not some second-class personality, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Sauradam, friendliness, is very significant in this verse. People are generally ignorant of Krishna consciousness, and therefore to become their well-wisher, one should teach them about Krishna consciousness without discrimination. So this is a vital connection. One may say, oh, I recognize that Krishna is my best friend, but now why should I become the best friend? Because this is what it means to be a friend of Krishna. If you actually become If you actually realize Krishna's love, then you want to preach. because your heart becomes changed by the realization of Krishna. A nice example is given in relations in the material world. Just like before marriage, the boy, he has no relationship, say, with the father of his wife-to-be or with the brother of his wife-to-be. He doesn't know these people. But then he gets married and suddenly the man is his father-in-law. The other man is his brother-in-law. These are close relatives. So by the virtue of his relationship with his wife, he has suddenly become intimately related with the others, family. So family, maybe a big family includes a dozen persons or so. Then, however, if you strike up your eternal relationship with Krishna, all right, now I'm surrendered to Krishna. I understand Krishna is my friend and I am his servant. So now look around and see, now who am I related to by virtue of my relationship to Krishna? Everyone. Because Krishna is related intimately to everyone. Now that you've awakened to your relationship with him, you should understand that you are now Krishna's party and you should be able to see everyone as your family. This is the benefit of bhakti yoga, relating to Krishna. But then one sees that, oh, there are so many persons who have gone away from Krishna's love, Krishna's protection. So the preacher takes up the cause of Krishna and wants to bring Krishna consciousness to others. So this is not a manufactured thing. When we preach amongst the devotees that they should preach, it is the desire of Krishna, as stated here by Prahlad Maharaj, and the quote is referred to Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna says, there are several verses, in the 67th verse he says, do not preach this Krishna consciousness to anyone who is not austere, but to anyone who does preach the message to my devotees, he is very dear to me. This is a confidential message, secret message. But whoever realizes the secret, we already said it's very hard to understand God. So if you understand God, then you have this secret information, confidential information. But now, if you preach it to the devotees, after you've realized it, then you become the dearmost servant of God. And then he says, there'll never be another servant more dear to me than he. So when we look at these verses, there's apparent contradiction at one point. That is, the Lord says, this confidential message should never be told to the non-devotee. The non-devotee cannot understand Krishna. Just like there are so many commentators, and they ruin the message of Krishna. They say it is not to Krishna that you have to surrender, that Krishna is not a real person. So non-devotee, you cannot understand Krishna. He should not handle, he should not speak Bhagavad Gita. You should not hear from such persons. Not the non-devotee, the message is for the devotee. Therefore he says, those who preach to the devotee. But then, he says later, that if you hear the message, in the concluding verses of Bhagavad Gita, he says, whoever hears this message of Bhagavad Gita with faith, then he becomes perfect also. So this describes a person who may not be a devotee yet, but who hears with faith. So how is he going to hear unless it is presented to him by the preacher? So sometimes, Prabhupada gives a specific example there, that a preacher may hold open class in which many persons may come who are not devotees. So as long as they are not resentful against the personality of Godhead, even though they're non-devotees and they may be sunk in sense gratification, they can change and become faithful hearers. If there are no devotees in a particular place, then to preach to the devotees means you have to make devotees. In other words, they are potential devotees. They're already servants of God and in the material energy. But many are also potential devotees. It doesn't matter how many. But if only one can become a pure devotee, then I consider my message, my mission a success, Srila Prabhupada wrote. If I can make one person a pure devotee. So there are potential devotees, and those who are actually claim to be devotees, they should desire to approach those persons and give them Krishna consciousness. So everyone should have this desire. It says, a preacher should personally understand these truths and preach them to everyone. Then there will be peace and tranquility all over the world. This is part of Krishna conscious realization. And it's not a departmental thing. Within our movement, everyone is advised to preach. The main thrust is book distribution. But everything is preaching. And even to distribute books, it is not just that it is distributed by the person on the street, but there is preparation. The book has to be produced, and then the arrangement has to be made for the worship of those who are distributing the books and the maintenance of a temple. And what if after distributing the books, people are going to come to the temple? Then there has to be arrangement that they are received. And aside from book distribution, there is chanting on the streets. There is speaking to people who actually come after some knowledge or having received a book. And there is the secret weapon of prasadam. And finally, in the sense of when they become even more receptive, they must see the deity beautifully decorated. So every devotee is equally a preacher if he has a great desire. Just like we are residing in this temple, so everyone should be thinking, how can we get people to join us? Especially now you're going in Vancouver, you're going to open your possibilities many, many fold by a big facility. So you can think like that. Whatever your engagement is, try to understand and have keen desire that people should come and join. People should become devotees. And so, among the devotees, there should be that appreciation. If someone is distributing the most books, then everyone becomes enthusiastic. Just like on a team, if there's a real team, baseball team, a basketball team, there's one leading scorer, but it's not that others are envious of him. No, because it's a team. Just like on a basketball team, the best scorer, the others always pass the ball to him. They're not thinking, I hope he doesn't score so many points tonight, I won't give him a good pass. It'll be good if he'll look bad. No, everyone, then when he scores, the whole team is ecstatic. They would like him to score unlimited so that their team can be victorious. But everyone is on the team. Especially that is so in spiritual life. There is no envy. And moreover, in Krishna's eyes, it is not necessarily that the one with the most points is the dear most. Everyone is dear to him, absolute sense, according to his desire. But this spirit is encouraged by Prahlad Maharaj. First you understand Krishna, and then you preach Krishna consciousness. And there's a reference to the demons who were trying to distinguish between friends and enemies. But the devotee, he tries to approach people understanding that they are friends as spirit soul, and he doesn't distinguish amongst them, that what is your politics, or what is your sex, or what is your nationality, what is your race. But he wants to give everyone a chance to realize their original Krishna consciousness. We'll stop here. Are there any questions? Yes. Yes.
In the purport, Father mentioned that perhaps the Lord Chaitanya instructed us about everybody should become a guru. Does that mean in your own position or actually become a guru?
Well, the background, what Yare Deke Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Gyai Guru Hanatara Idesh. This verse was spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Kurma Brahmana, a Brahmin named Kurma. When Lord Chaitanya went to South India, he stayed at this Brahmin's house. He was a man, family man. He had an occupation and a family and a house. So the next day, Lord Chaitanya was staying one night and then leaving the next day, preaching everywhere, telling people to chant Hare Krishna. So the next day he was about to leave and the Brahmin came before him and said, "My dear Lord, I am completely captivated by you and your mission. I must go with you. You please accept me. I want to travel with you and leave this web of material life and my family." And Lord Chaitanya said to him, "Don't speak like this. I don't want to hear you speak like this. This is not right. Don't consider leaving home, but yes, Yare Deke Tare Krishna, you should speak to everyone you meet and tell them about Krishna according to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and you become a guru and save the people." So this instruction to become a guru was specifically given to a householder and not even telling him to quit his household, but become a guru in his home. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya preached to everyone. That was his preach. He would tell them, and then they would tell others. It was not that only Lord Chaitanya could say, be guru and preach. But now when he told the Kurma Brahma, then he was obliged to tell everyone he met, "Now you be guru." So guru is unlimited. There are, of course, there is Shiksha Guru and there is Diksha Guru. And so the initiating guru, one can only have one initiating guru, but there are unlimited instructor gurus. A guru is whoever tells me about spiritual life and helps me in spiritual life. He's the guru. So one can have many gurus. And yes, it is meant that everyone should be guru. But one cannot take disciples, initiate disciples, unless he is authorized to do so. Just like in our Krishna conscious movement, this is a general instruction. Then we have a specific instruction. One cannot go to the general instruction of the Shastra in defiance of a specific instruction. So our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, said, "Now the disciplic succession shall be carried on with 11 persons, and they may increase." So one cannot go to this verse and say, "Well, I'm a disciple of Prabhupada, I will make my own disciples," because Lord Chaitanya said, "Become a guru." It means you go and preach and be guru. And what Srila Prabhupada said, that has to be followed also. It is not a contradiction. But it's a fact that whoever really helps somebody and convinces them to become a devotee, he is a guru. Prabhupada once wrote in a letter, he said, "I am officially spiritual master of you all," he said, "but I think that I am actually your servant, and Krishna has sent me so many spiritual masters to train." We even say Prabhu to each other, recognizing that the other person is our master to teach us. The Vaishnava is humble, can receive instruction from other devotees. Kunja Bihari? You become a guru? How do you become a guru? Janai. Very good. Anyone else? Yes.
Do you understand, therefore, that one's advancement in Krishna consciousness is tested by how much his desire is there to preach Krishna consciousness?
His advancement?
Yes.
Yes. That's the point I was making. There was a question and answer once. This boy, Petito Duran, asked Prabhupada. First, he made a little speech. He said to Prabhupada, we understand that you want these Back to Godhead magazines profusely distributed, and we know that this is your desire. So we are wondering. So we are all feeling because you want this. We are all feeling a great desire to help you in this. So what can we do to increase this distribution? And Prabhupada said, that desire, he said, if you keep that desire, then that is pleasing to me. So out of the desire will come. Desire just doesn't sit and nothing happens. Even the material desire, you contemplate on the desire. The man is desiring sex life, and then by contemplation, then he takes some action to satisfy. So real desire to spread Krishna consciousness, one will then take action. Fit himself into the Sankirtan movement. So then he can advance. Of course, there must be fitness. One cannot just preach without being fit. But that would be part of the desire, a real desire, not just a material, momentary infatuation. But saying, yes, I want to be a preacher. So sometimes one immediately goes and preaches and then finds that I'm not very fit. I have no spiritual strength. I don't know what to say to people. I myself am not yet convinced. Then he has to take stock and gather his own strength. Actually, now I have to be a real devotee. Like Kunja Bihari is saying, you have to chant all your rounds, you have to obey the principles. You can't be a preacher and just be a nonsense. So when you say, is it by our desire to preach that we advance? Yes. So we have to pray for that desire. Just like when we hear a verse like this, Prahlad Maharaj is urging to preach, so hopefully it will stimulate our hearts and revive our desire, increase our desire. Because of the philosophic understanding, help other living entities is the best way to serve Krishna. This is the specific mark of our sampradaya.
He was saying last night that Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, they couldn't spread the movement in England because they had some personal desire. So how do we understand that now, like, does that mean because the devotees distribute so many books and so many things that they have some pure desire?
Oh, yes. Like their self-motivation was so gross that they just wanted to get a temple for themselves after the disappearance of their spiritual master and live in that temple as a kind of residence. And become the guru and not even preach. Just show the deity and collect some money. So such a that we're not to because preaching is work and renunciation, and they were simply not wanting to preach. And preaching also means, on a big scale, cooperation. So they didn't want to cooperate with each other. Just like in our movement, so much money is collected and sent to central funding so that projects, the money can be dispersed to projects in India, which, because we know that was Prabhupada's desire. And this is a confederation for worldwide effective preaching. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he desired that his movement go on like that with a governing body, and but they didn't follow it. So the self-motivation was so strong that they couldn't gain the strength of cooperation. And yes, so it's to be understood that the preachers are pure. Because also whatever they're collecting, they're spending properly for more book distribution, not for easy living. If it was not self-motivated, why would you, or how could you do this sankirtan going out in such difficulties? Because it is transcendental. But still, there are difficulties from other living entities, there are difficulties from your body, and there are difficulties from the forces of nature, especially in this northern part. So against all those difficulties, most people are trying to avoid those difficulties. So there must be pure motivation to undergo the tapasya. Yes?
Probably explain this, there's four different ways to preach, like your life, your work, your words, your wealth, and your intelligence, and so on. I was wondering, what's the relationship with people who can't, you know, join our movement full time and become part of the Sankirtan movement but still want to contribute some way in one of those four ways? Is there standing, you know, spiritually equal to the people who are engaged full time?
There's a saying that that he who helps the preacher is as good as the preacher. He gets the same credit. So the preacher may say, "Well, what's I'm preaching, but he's helping me. He gets the same credit." Well, that doesn't seem fair. Then I'll stop preaching. I'll just help. But no, the preacher doesn't think like that. because he would never give up his service. Yeah. We know that if I give up my service, someone else will do it, because Lord Chaitanya said, in every town and village, the name will be spread. Therefore, it will be spread, whether you do it or I do it, or if we go away, he'll see that someone else does it. So we don't think, well, let someone else do it. Because a devotee, he wants to be the one to do it. He wants to taste the bliss, and in that sense, get the credit of serving Krishna. But it's also a fact that these other persons, to the degree that they help, they also get the credit. Just like Prabhupada used to say that about George Harrison, he said, "You are not my disciple, but you are more than my disciple, because you are doing more than the others." Because he was able to help so much. Even a person who doesn't join, he can become important and dear to Krishna. But those who are actually living in the family of Krishna consciousness, thoroughly following all the rules and regulations, even if it's admitted that others may get as much credit, the devotee would never want to take that lesser position. He wants to follow all the austerities. He wants to be strict because he gets the special, intimate relationship with Krishna. But it's a fact that there's the other persons who help this movement, they become very dear to Krishna. They're not excluded.
To clarify the point more, my question is that, say a person is, they can't join full time, but they're contaminated to such an extent they can't follow the principles, but they try to the best of their ability, to contribute, say, all their wealth, or they use their intelligence or something like that to the best of their. So what is their fate, say, at the time of death? What could you say?
Everything is individual, you know. Someone may have been a rascal and looked like he couldn't get his devotional service together, but somehow he's at the time of death, he's just so repentant and surrendered to Krishna, it can happen. There's some story of a Brahmin who lived near the house of a prostitute, and he was so angry at this prostitute's being sinful that whenever he saw her go to a customer, he would he was making a public demonstration that he was putting a stone on a wall to show another sinful activity by her. Just see now all these sinful activities that she has committed. The result was that in the end she felt so remorseful for her sins that she was given liberation, and this Brahmin was so puffed up that he was not actually humble, was not candidate for going back to Godhead, although he was following the rules and she wasn't. But she actually was, in the end, somehow became not a sinner because became sorry for all her sins. But the karma is, the judgment like that is always so individual, you can't say. It's certainly the safe thing is to give up sinful life as soon as possible and not expect some dramatic last save, and just go on the straight path. But a person can somehow stumble and struggle and not look good, and then he may finish nicely. So it's like a race. So we have to see to the end who's remaining in the field. But whoever takes part even a little, even then quits, it's always to his credit. If you're concerned about those people, then just encourage them more. It's a fact. Whatever they do is good. The main thing is if even if people are sunk in sense gratification, that they wish us well and that they're submissive. But people who are envious and blasphemous, of course, they, even if they somehow associate themselves in their own way with Krishna consciousness, it is hard to encourage or associate with such people. But people who may be sunk in sense gratification, but are always, as you say, trying to help with money or trying to chant, trying. Their condition is better to work with. Yeah.
Well, actually, in light of all this, so everyone, no matter what his position, should always be praying for the facility and ability of the creature to be specific. Praises to be able to serve Krishna.
No, he should pray to preach. He said to the householder, whoever you meet, preach. So in every life there's preaching. One person on a walk, once someone asked Prabhupada, what about the grihastha? How can he preach? I remember this, it was in Chicago. So Prabhupada first referred to one of the devotees who was with him. He said, you tell him the answer, one of the senior devotees. So the devotee began to explain some program that was there in the Chicago temple for grihasthas. And Prabhupada interrupted and he said that if you actually want to preach, there is no impediment. It's not that because one is a grihastha, he has to have a special program or this person has to have a program before he can preach. In other words, if one actually has the desire, then he can preach to the mailman, he can preach to the birds or the bees, there's no position that you can't preach in. If you're a brahmachari traveling on Sankirtan, then you've got full facility. And we may have to make some program for a person to preach, but he shouldn't wait that I can't preach until they set me up a program. But if he wants to preach, there are people everywhere. And you can do something. Just get some cookies and go out in the street and give people a prasadam. Or if I'm very busy, but you can preach. So that was the point that there's a facility is already there, whoever you meet. And then, but that is advised. You save yourself and then become dear to Krishna by preaching. And everything is preaching in this ISKCON movement. Some services may be more difficult to realize, but that has to be done. So that even whatever you're doing, you realize that this is spreading Krishna consciousness. If you don't feel like that, you say, can you just be a devotee without that spirit? Well, how will you get enthusiasm if you think I'm doing something but it's not benefiting anybody? And I don't even feel it's benefiting me. Then how will you be enthusiastic? But if you know that by doing this I am spreading Krishna consciousness, then it's nice.